Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people above them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. And we've got line movement. The Cincinnati Bengals now getting 7.5, total 54.5 there first up. Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern, NFC West battle awaits. Winner goes to the Super Bowl. San Francisco 49ers getting 3.5. Total is dipping 45.5. We break it down. We've got a full house here this evening. Many different opinions and perspectives on the Sports Grid Radio Networks, the loudest station in the nation. Sirius XM Channel 159 will welcome our AM radio affiliates momentarily. So we've got Rob Vino kicking to us. We've got Tony Finn going to be joining us. We've got Mike Sando from The Athletic. We've got Brent Beard. College football signing day is next week on Wednesday. We got signing day, college football. So we're on top of everything, and there's a lot of stuff to be on top of. We've got overnight tennis going on. We'll talk a little soccer as well. Canada taking on the United States. The New York Giants hire Buffalo Bill offensive coordinator Brian Daboll as their head coach. And let's start off right there. Great hire by the New York Giants. Like, honestly, the Giants is the first time they've gotten anything right in a long time. Like, if you look at the list of coaches that they've had, McAdoo actually didn't look so bad now in hindsight. But from McAdoo to Shermer to Joe Judge, let's just be real, it was a subpar operation that they were running. And you can see now, it's the Buffalo Bills loss, but that's the way this league goes. And basically, you'll notice, the Buffalo Bills were basically built off the Carolina Panthers. Like, the good Carolina Panther teams, that was a spin. The Bills are a spinoff of the Panthers, right? The assistant general manager of the Panthers is the general manager of the Bills. Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was a defensive coordinator in the Super Bowl with Ron Rivera, right? You look at Cam Newton was their quarterback. Well, what is Josh Allen? He plays a lot like Cam Newton. He's better than Cam Newton in the NFL, but he plays a lot like a big dude. You know what I mean? Like, there's a pattern here. And now if you look, the New York Giants now hired the Buffalo Bills assistant general manager. And what do the Giants do now? He brings in Brian Daboll from the Buffalo Bills. The Bills will be fine. And I'm not going to tell you, listen, I'm not telling you that Brian Daboll's going to reinvent the wheel, right? He's got work to do right now. But unlike a lot of these coordinators, Brian Daboll's actually paid his dues. Like, Brian Daboll's paid his dues. We saw the work that he did with Josh Allen. We've seen the progress with Josh Allen. We've seen the Buffalo Bill offense, right? We've seen the progress. And, you know, before that, oh, yeah, he was with Alabama and Nick Saban, right? Like, Brian Daboll's resume is impeccable, right? It's impeccable. And you know what? And as I said, I'm not telling you that, oh, Brian Daboll's winning the Super Bowl and he's the best hire in the history of this or that. Hell, there were times this year I ripped Brian Daboll. I said, you want him? Take him. But compared to the clowns that were running that stuff over at the Meadowlands, Daboll's Vince Lombardi. the late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moreno. It's the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio 10 and countdown to kickoff is a shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We break it down on the Mothership Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Mike Sando from The Athletic joins us. We like to call the Friday night show the Friday Night Freak Show. Mike Sando's not a freak. He's a smart guy, like all the dudes at The Athletic. They hire smart people at The Athletic. So Mike Sando, he's not a freak. Brent Beard's not a freak either. So we'll talk NFL football with Mike Sando from The Athletic. Brent Beard will join us from Jacksonville, Florida. We'll get caught up to date with a little college football. That's right. College what? What? Yeah, we're talking college basketball tonight. We've got college basketball picks, but college football is signing day on Wednesday. There's still like 8 of the top 100 players are still out there. Kids can still change their mind and flip and stuff like that. There's a lot of backdoor business going on as we speak in the college football world. So like the final weekend, this is it. It's the final weekend of recruiting, and it's announced on Wednesday. So Brent Beard steps up and in. Tony Finn, straight from the strip, Las Vegas, Nevada. Or I should say straight from the plains of the deserts of Nevada, Area 51. Tony Finn, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk college basketball with Tony Finn. Rob Vino Sports kicks it with us as well. Like I said, I want to get as many opinions as we can on these football games. And speaking of football games, so Cincinnati Bengals are getting 7.5. The total is 54.5. The San Francisco 49ers are getting 3.5. Total is 45.5. The number is coming down in the NFC Conference Championship game right now. And quite frankly, I think the number is coming down a little bit too low. But FanDuel has posted Super Bowl matchups. We've got numbers for all the Super Bowl matchups right now. If the Los Angeles Rams play the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are the favorites, the Kansas City Chiefs would be 2.5-point favorites in this football game. If we have a Super Bowl rematch between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chiefs are 3-point favorites in this football game. Super Bowl, Rams, Cincinnati Bengals, Rams, -3.5. San Francisco 49ers versus the Bengals, Niners lay 2.5. We break it down, we share our props. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds predicted.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! Well, let's roll. The Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. All right, countdown to kickoff is on. As I mentioned, we've got a full house here tonight. Rob Vino is great. Rob Vino is going to join us. Rob Vino Sports. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk a little college basketball. Rob. Tony Finn, also awesome, joins us from Area 51. He represents the freaks on the Friday Night Freak Show. Mike Sando is the intellectual from The Athletic. So we're getting an intellectual's picks and thoughts. We're getting a freak's picks and thoughts and Tony Finn. We're getting a very serious and smart handicapper's thoughts. Not that Finn isn't. and Rob Vino. And we're going to have Brent Beard picks. So we're going to talk college football with Brent Beard as well. Listen, just a quick note on college football. Deion Sanders is really like, he's having a big impact on this thing. Like, Deion Sanders is having a big impact on the college football recruiting scene right now. And it's fascinating to see Jackson State, like, battling with Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson and Florida State for players. But if you guys remember, Deion Sanders got the number one defensive back in the country. All right, he got him to, he was going with Travis Hunter. He was going to Florida State. He was committed to Florida State, but you can decommit, man. Right? So he was committed to Florida State, and he decommitted and shocked the world by going with Deion Sanders to an all-black college. And a lot of people are like, what? And like, oh, what's going on? And, you know, what's was there an NIL deal? How much money is behind this? And whatever, man. If you're a defensive back, let's say, and this kid was the number one defensive back in the country. So you're the number one defensive back in the country. Am I going to go play and get yelled at by some coach somewhere that doesn't care about me and is just using me? Or am I going to go and be coached by an NFL Hall of Famer who played the same position that I do, who played in the National Football League and marketed and branded himself more better than almost anybody in the history of sport? Like, you know, when people say, why is he going there? I don't know. It seems to make a lot of sense why he would go there. And I hear, well, he's going to not play against good competition. That's what the other coach, well, he's not going to play against good competition. Well, every day in practice, he's going to be coached by Deion Sanders, which I guarantee you, Deion Sanders can teach him more than any defensive back in college football coach can. Like, yeah, who's the DB coach? Show me at Michigan. Show me at Alabama. Is he better than Deion Sanders? No. You can't win that argument. So, you know, why is he going there? Well, because he's going to be tutored by, you know, one of the best defensive backs in the history of the National Football League. That's why. But, so that was one thing. So they were like, oh, man, he got the DB, okay. You know, and he flipped the DB. He got the number one wide receiver in the country, Kevin Coleman, out of St. Louis. Right. So he got the number one defensive back. He got the number one defensive back. Then he flipped around. He turns around and he gets the number one wide receiver in the country. And now, word is he's going to get the number one linebacker in the country. And this kid's down to, like, you know, we're talking like LSU and like LSU, Texas A&M, Arkansas. Alabama wasn't on the kid's list for whatever reason. This Perkins kid. And here, let me get into this linebacker kid right now. Yeah, I guess this kid's got everyone by the balls at the last second, and people are panicked at, like, oh, yeah, he's talking to Deion. You imagine if Deion gets, like, the best linebacker, the best wide receiver, and the best. I've always thought that. I've always said, man, if one of these black colleges would hire a coach, put a little money into this, and just sell it. Sell it like that. And say, listen, man, you want to go play for them or you want to play for us? Right? Draw a line in the sand type thing. And you start to stop. We've seen in college basketball too, right? One of the top recruits went to an all-black college. It's funny to see. I mean, there's hundreds of these top players, right, coming in. It's just funny to watch, like, the system, like, freak out, man. Like, remember Doug Gottlieb was in a panic, man, about this kid. Like, oh, why would he go? You know what I mean? Why? Well, I don't know, Doug, because maybe he's actually smart and he doesn't want to get played. So, anyways, Brent Beard will join us. We'll talk a little college football signing day. Rob Vino, Tony Finn, and Mike Sando. All right, so if you're just joining us right now, I rattled off some Super Bowl numbers. And like I said, these Super Bowl odds that I'm giving you right now, you can bet them. They're not, you know, they're not just hypothetical. You can bet these numbers. And some of these numbers surprise me. And I'll tell you what, this is why if you bet them now, you're getting a better number. So let's just go over the numbers right now. So the numbers for the games this weekend, Cincinnati Bengals +7.5, 54.5. We got a ton of props in this game. We'll share the props we've put in. San Francisco and the Rams, it's 45.5. This game, we've talked about it all week. It's a difficult game. Obviously, it's tough, but as this game approaches, you start to actually, like, think and realize, you know what? Getting the San Francisco 49ers +3.5 in this spot is a pretty attractive proposition in a game that is a complete toss-up. Although, you know what? Like, it feels like it's a toss-up, yet is it? Like, you know, we brought this up all week long. We've asked all of our guests, is it a matchup situation? Is it something that they can do on film to change? I don't think it is. I think football is all about matchups. Last week, we loved the Rams. We liked the matchup against the Buccaneers. We liked the matchup of the players that they had. It's been proven that it's not a good matchup for the Rams against the Niners. The Rams are awesome, but their one weakness, you know what I mean? The Rams are, you know, we always like to compare football and fighting, and I think it's a good analogy. The Rams are like a flashy UFC fighter. They don't want to get taken down. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to get taken down. They want to dance around, kick you in the head, but coming in and out, pop, you know, pick and pop and stuff. They want to mix in a takedown on you. Like, basically, like the Rams, you line up on the offensive, you know, on the line, and you basically run the ball right at them. Right? That sort of, no, no, no. We're not going side to side here. Right? We're not letting Ramsey set up and do his thing. You know, no, no. And Donald, you're not bullying anybody because we're running at you. We're setting up. We've got a fullback. We've got this. Or the other one that the Niners are really good at is the misdirection stuff. Right? They get you on, you know, you're on the line and stuff. How the hell are you supposed to get Samuel when he's running one of those sweep reverses? You can't. It's impossible. Like, you can't get to him. Like, if you think about the combination between Elijah Mitchell and Samuel, it's a freaking load to deal with, okay? It's a load to deal with. Getting to 3.5, and I say this right now. I say this, and I like the 3.5. I think that's the right side to be on. But it doesn't mean I don't think the Rams can't win this football game. And I'm not giving you, I hate when people, yeah, but that happens and this happens. No, I'm telling you right now. I think this is a 3-point game. I think this is a 2-point game. I think this is a 1-point game. I don't think it's a 4-point game. And if it's a 4-point game, then it's the Niners that win and we cover. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I honestly really believe that this game's going to come down to a field goal. But listen, we're going to be on Sunday afternoon before this game. We're going to be on live doing the game, the Bengals game and the Chiefs. So we'll give you our final picks for this. But the 3.5 is it, like, if it was 2.5, I'm telling you. And I'm not one of these guys. People that tune into the show know this. I'm not one of these, I like it at 3.5, but I don't like it at 2.5. But there is a difference. Like, to me, this is a street fight, man. This is a street fight, and the Niners are actually the tougher opponent. Let's just be real. They've beaten them 6 times in a row. They've shown they can come back on.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Anybody, right? They've shown they can win in any weather, any situation. The Rams will not have any sort of home field advantage in this game. It's going to feel like, it won't be like a Niner home game. It's going to be like neutral. It's going to feel like a bowl game. Right, it'll be like credit on both sides. Like, I'm just saying, like, the Rams can win this game, but I'm not saying they're going to win by 4. I think someone is going to defeat the kickers. Someone's going to be a hero or someone's going to be a loser. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This lady says I'm an artist.
You artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient, or a hillbilly, or a chimpanzee.
Fresno State, Boise State. Some late night college basketball going on right now. Nothing wrong with that. We're already on the Bulldogs in this game. We're on Fresno State. I like the over here, though. I thought the total was a little light. We broke down this game on the TV show earlier this evening. Total was like 119.5. I see an in-game right now at 120.5, although it's currently locked. But it's 37-37. There's 14 minutes left in the game. But you'll notice Boise State have 5 fouls. That's a lot of fouls to have this early. So, in other words, Fresno State's going to be going to the free throw line for the rest of the game very shortly. And what does that mean? It means there's going to be points being put up on the board without the clock ticking. If you're betting in-game college basketball, I'm a big believer in check the fouls right away. Like, first day, what's the foul situation? Right, what's the foul? Now, unfortunately, some teams are too stupid to actually take advantage of it, and they'll just take bad shots and bad threes anyways. But it's something to keep your eye on. As soon as this game gets unlocked, we're going to jump in on the over of this game. 37-37 right now. As I said, I'm already on Fresno. All right, so Mike Sando from The Athletic will join us in a couple of moments. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a full house. Rob Vino will kick it with us. We got Tony Finn, so we got some handicappers. We got picks. We've got Brent Beard. Brent Beard's a Heisman Trophy voter, covers the SEC and the ACC. Talk a little college football, signing stuff's going on. Deion Sanders taking the world over. Texas A&M, actually, of all teams, actually killing it as well. Like, Texas, I don't know what's whatever. I don't know what's up there, but it's one of those weird deals. Like, Texas A&M never win, but like they're about to break through. Because they're actually, like, murdering it on the recruiting, like, level. I think Texas A&M, like, had a higher recruiting class, like, ranked class than, like, Georgia did type thing. Like, Jimbo Fisher, I don't know, he knows how to, you know, he knows how to hustle. All right, so as far as the NFL is concerned, we're going to get to our picks. I just want to share those of the Super Bowl matchups here. And I'll tell you what I think you should bet now if you know what I mean, if they happen. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, guys, these aren't hypothetical. All right, so they're up at FanDuel right now. You can bet them. And basically, if the bet that you make, if the game happens, then your bet stays. So you don't lose your money. It's not like you're, oh, well, if it doesn't, you know what I mean? You're not losing your money. Like, let's say, like, right now, you're like, you know what, man? So let's say a good example. So the San Francisco 49ers against the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. Right now, it's the Niners minus 2.5. So if you're like, man, I like the Niners. I'll lay 2.5 for the Niners over the Bengals in the Super Bowl. You can do it right now. But if it doesn't happen, it's not like you don't get your money back. If that game doesn't happen, then your bet is void. But if the game, if that Super Bowl is on, then you've already got your bet in. And these are opening. These are numbers right now. They will change. They will change. But, you know, a good example is Georgia was -1 before they, you know, with the college football playoffs. Right, they had advanced numbers for the championship game. Georgia was -1 against Bama. It ended up being -3 after. So, like, it will change. I think San Francisco and Cincinnati, obviously that's the most unlikely of the matchups. NFL, older NFL fans or NFL, like, hardcore, like, historians or you watch stuff, like, you'll be aware. There is a history between San Francisco and Cincinnati in the Super Bowl. And in fact, they played twice in the 80s. And both times, Joe Montana beat him. Joe Montana beat Ken Anderson, Chris Collinsworth. Sunday night, I always figure everyone knows this stuff, but I know, you know, not everybody knows that. But yeah, so Chris Collinsworth, Sunday Night Football. He was a wide receiver. He's pretty good, too. If you're wondering, like, oh, Collinsworth, whatever. Collinsworth was a very good football player. Right, so Collinsworth was in the Super Bowl. I think he was a rookie, actually. But he was in the Super Bowl. He was good, too. Like, he was part of their success with the Bengals. Ken Anderson was the quarterback. Ken Anderson was the quarterback. You know, we talk about the freezer game and the freezer bowl and stuff. That they went on to the Super Bowl after, right? They beat the Chargers. Right, so they went on to the Super Bowl. And at the Pontiac Silverdome. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say the final score was 20-16 for San Francisco. Let's see if I'm correct. I don't know if you remember last week, Matthias. I remember I rattled off. I was like, yeah, 46-10. I banked off a Super Bowl score. So what did I say? I said 2016. I believe it was 2016. No, I was wrong. 26-21. And you know what? I don't remember the score of the other one. Oh, you know what? I'm right. It was 2016.
I'm thinking of scores right now.
No, it was. You know what? Matthias, they played twice. One of them was 2016, but I didn't. I got it backwards. You know what I mean? Like I thought yeah. the one in 82 was 2016, and I just openly was going to admit that I don't know the score of the 89 one, even though I remember the game like 1989, like it was yesterday. I don't remember the score of the 89 game, but I was actually the 89 game was 20-16, but that was a great game. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I'm hard on myself, though. I'm mad. I'm disappointed in myself. Like, if I was on a sports trivia show and I just cost myself a lot of money, I'd go, like, jump off a bridge and I'd be like, you're so stupid. 2016, 89. You're at 82. It's 89, you idiot. But what do I always say on this show, Matthias, all the time? I always say I would do great on these sports shows, like, and all that, except I would lose because of little tweaks like that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, it was 84, not 83, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm close.
Little small mistakes.
I did stump the Schwab, though. I had the Schwab on the show. I stumped him. I did. It pissed him off, too. It did. And he sort of, I didn't know. Like, he thought we were just going to do an interview and stuff. He goes, I didn't know, like, you were going to, you know, come at me like this. Well, whatever, bro. You got to stump the Schwab on the phone. What are you going to do? You're going to try to stump him. You know how I stumped him at this? You know how I stumped him? You're going to like it.
No, I'm loving this right now because I know that Schwab is a perfectionist too, you know?
He was like, hey, I wasn't prepared. Like, I thought it was just like, he thought it was like, oh, it was just an interview, right? He didn't think that I was going to start coming at him with stuff. I got him with UFC stuff. I knew I would stump him with that.
That's on his wheelhouse.
I got him with a GSP question.
He's probably thinking, why the hell would you ask me a GSP question?
No. And you know what? You know what was good, though? After we got off the air, he told me. He goes, you know what? Thanks. I appreciate that. He goes, I've been waiting for that. I've got to get up on my UFC because it's a real thing now. Right? Because this was years ago, bro. I caught him off guard. I was like, who's won this many belts and defended it? He was like,
Schwab also has his accolades on his Twitter. You know, when you open his Twitter, what does it say? You know, third place in the competition.
Yeah.
In the competition.
I got him. Like I said, he wasn't happy at first either. Like I said, he got up. Sorry, no, you were asking me to know we were doing this. Like I said, I knew he wouldn't know the UFC. He knew a little bit, though. So he did. He did. But he actually got a laugh after. Like I spoke to him off the air after, and he got a laugh about it. And he told me, he goes, thanks for reminding me. He goes, yeah, UFC. But UFC, bro, there wasn't on ESPN yet or anything in those days. You know what I mean? This is like 15, 10, 12 years ago or something. Right, UFC is popular, but it wasn't.
Wasn't it on FX? And there was another channel.
Well, it used to be on Spike.
There we go. That's what it was. Spike TV. Good call.
It was on FX, bro. But yeah, after. But yeah, FX was a step up, Matthias. That was like their big deal.
Yes, exactly.
It was like, hey, we're leaving Spike. We're going to FX, not Fox. We're going to FX. Right? It was like.
That's a channel. Spike TV. You nailed it. That's what I was thinking of. Those are the great days. The GSP days. The Uri Faber California Kid days.
Spike doesn't exist anymore, though.
It's long gone.
Spike. Yeah, it's too bad. I like Spike TV. It was a good network. Spike was good. Like, what was their other shows? Well, they had Cops on a lot. 1,000 Ways to Die. I think that was one of their shows.
They did have Cops a lot. I got the song in my head now. You're right. After every single fight, it seems like Cops would.
Yeah, with Cops. Like they. No, dude, that's all they ran. It was basically the Ultimate Fighter replay.
Like, yeah. And replay of fights. Like
yeah, I was going to say, but GSP wasn't on Spike ever. You know what I mean? Like, it was the. That's what saved them, though, actually. You know the story, right? Everyone knows. Like, that's the Dana will, like, says it. The Fertittas were ready to pull the plug. They put in, like, million deals. Dana White didn't have any money. Dana White's a guy from Boston. He knew, like, the Fertittas through high school. He knew this guy and that guy. So he knew a couple of rich dudes whose parents own casinos. So they had some money. And they put, like, $2 million in, which at the time is quite a bit. You know what I mean? So they lost, like, a couple of million dollars. And it wasn't going anywhere. Right, a lot of states didn't want it. No television networks was interested in the UFC. They were like, whatever, that's a freak show. We don't want that stuff. And no one wanted it. And honestly, like, it's the truth. Like, Fertitta basically told Dana White, like, listen, we're going to pull the plug soon, right? Like, this isn't. And Dana White told him, all right, I get it. But he goes, listen, I just signed a reality TV deal with this network called Spike. He goes, I'm going to do a reality TV show.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Show called The Ultimate Fighter. And he goes, let's see what happens from the show. And he goes, but I understand. And Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner, one of the greatest fights of all time. Mike Sando, next. Or I should say, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenz. We're breaking it down. Countdown to kickoff is on SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Networks, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Let's bring in Mike Sando. Always love talking football with Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. Forget about Super Bowl media row. I know you've had a media row of your own. I know you've done a million hits today, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be here. There's always lots to talk about this time of year with coaching carousels and GM carousels and games.
So before we get to the games, let's talk about the quarterback carousel. There's a lot of talk, and there's going to be a lot of stuff written about Aaron Rodgers because he puts himself out there as well. Russell Wilson does not. You are in the Seattle area, and you and I discussed Russell Wilson's future about a month ago or 2 months ago or so. And, you know, it's tough, right? You know, like you said, he's not as open as Aaron Rodgers. You know, Russell Wilson's not going on a McAfee show every Tuesday, right? So Russell Wilson, a little bit more secretive. Where are we at, in your opinion, with this right now, as far as Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson is concerned? Will Russell Wilson be the quarterback of the Seahawks next year?
I think that he will. You know, I think Pete Carroll, obviously an older coach, he probably didn't come back to go looking for a new quarterback or to have some sort of a three-year reset. I think he feels like, hey, you know, they got their running game going late in the year. It made them a formidable team. They scored 50 points in one game. They blew out Arizona. They had the leading rusher in the league the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. And they need to, you know, probably sharpen up their defensive scheme to make better use of Jamal Adams and others. So they're making a scheme change there and come back next year. You know, Russell Wilson has 2 years left on his deal. I think it could get dicey at some point in there after that. But I would imagine, unless they had some amazing offer, the best route for them back to the playoffs is just to come back with Russell Wilson healthy for the whole season and try it again.
And as you stated, there's 2 years left, and 2 years go by pretty fast, right? I think I always felt, too, that he would be back. You know, I never really buy into the reports or Russell Wilson's open to listening, to new scenarios. I don't think they want to end like this either, right, the way that this season was. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. I just can't see it ending like that in Seattle for Wilson.
Yeah, I think most of the quarterbacks, Wilson among them, you know, they want to have a voice in the organization. That was the whole thing with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. He wants to feel included. He wants to feel like he knows what they're doing. And I think the Seahawks have included Russell Wilson in some things, but maybe he feels like he wants a little bit more of an equality or a little bit more of a partnership, and that could be reflected also in their style of play. That has been something where I think Russell Wilson has pushed for a little bit more of a wide open approach. Pete Carroll, being a defensive coach, wants to, you know, run the ball a little more and try to set up the explosive pass plays with that. And there's been a bone of contention there between the two on that side that could eventually lead to a separation, but, you know, maybe wouldn't right away.
Mike Sando with us. Mike, as far as, you know, Aaron Rodgers, how surprised are you that they're not playing right now? That once again, they had home field advantage. It seemed like, all right, this year's different, right? This year is going to be different. I like the Packers to win last week. We can talk about where Aaron Rodgers potentially going to be playing next year, what happens, but I'm just surprised they're not playing this weekend again.
Yeah, me too. I think they were surprised, even though their offense wasn't doing well in the last game. I think they still felt like they were going to win. And then you have a couple of catastrophes on special teams. Suddenly you're watching the playoffs. So very disappointing for them. They should have addressed their special teams before that. It's been a problem in the past. That falls on the organization. It falls on the coaching. Rodgers himself didn't play great either in the game, which probably helps them from the standpoint of trying to keep Rodgers. It wasn't like he was lights out and some other aspect of the game blew it. But collectively, that 2 years in a row, they've been the number one seed, didn't get to the Super Bowl, and they're just squandering precious opportunities. You don't know if you're going to get another opportunity next season.
Mike, everybody, and I want to get to the games here, and I brought this up last night, and I was talking about the fact that there's one African-American head coach in the National Football League as of right now. And, you know, people want to hear about the games, and people, oh, you know, it's not, you know, I don't want to talk about a subject like that. And I said, well, it's kind of why we are where we are, because people don't want to talk about this stuff. Just quickly on this right now, isn't it kind of mind-blowing that, like, out of 32 teams, there actually is only one? It's sort of like, I didn't even really realize. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you know, after, in hindsight, we see these jobs are being filled up right now, and there's always, yeah, but no, this guy got the job because of this, and he got the job because of that, but come on, Mike, like, it's 2022. Like, what's going on here? What's your opinion on this?
Well, one of the things that happened a few years ago was a whole bunch of the coaches of color were fired at once. It was the year that Marvin Lewis went out. And what happened was those hirings had sort of built up, and there were a bunch. They didn't all happen at once, but they were all eliminated at once. And then they don't all just come back at once, and they haven't come back enough even incrementally. This year, I know one thing that's very different from past years, and we've seen it from a results standpoint at the GM level, is the interviews have been much higher percentage diverse candidates than they were in the past, like half of them. If you look at the GM, I think the GM and head coach interviews, I believe about half of the candidates are candidates of color, and we've seen them hired by the Vikings for GM, and we've seen them hired by the Bears as GM. So on the coaching front, it's not there, and hasn't been there yet. And I think that's a huge concern of the league and why they've put so much emphasis on it. In the end, you can't make a coach or you can't make an owner hire someone as a head coach, but you can diversify and slow down the process, which I think that they have done. And I think the results that they've gotten at the GM level can be helpful, too, in other aspects of the organization, even if the head coaching one still remains a difficult hill to climb.
Mike Sando of The Athletic with us. It's just, yeah, I think the word's embarrassing, I guess, really. I mean, and like I said, I don't blame Goodell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want him to do? I see you can't, owners are going to hire who they want to own. And I said the other day, Mike, and I'll stand by this. I said, I don't think owners are racist. I think they're stupid. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's just so many, like, bad hires over and over, and you can see it from a mile away, right? Over and over. And are they racist? No. I don't know if they get fooled by the interview process or what is it? Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Let's be real.
There's different ways that racism comes through. It doesn't mean that you're using slurs or even think you're racist.
Somebody said a good term to me, systematic. Systematic is sort of like built in, right?
Well, yeah, and we know that to make a really important hire, and this goes no matter what your ethnicity is, when you're going to hire somebody to a really important job, you tend to hire the people that you know and trust the most. That's why, and that happens no matter the ethnicity of the head coach. That'll be reflected in their staff and who they hire. Everyone in the NFL gets their job almost everyone, based on they know somebody, right? That's just the way of the world. So you have to get more diversity in the people that are doing the hiring, because they're going to hire the people they know too. And that will grow the numbers. So, I think that's really where they're at is in the important hires. They hire who they're comfortable with. And a lot of times, people are comfortable with people that are similar to them.
So, Mike, as far as the Rams and the 49ers are concerned, NFC West, winner goes to the Super Bowl, six straight wins for the 49ers over the Rams. I've been asking people this. I don't like repeating the same question all week, but I like your opinion on this. I like to get varying, you know, different opinions. I've been saying, is there anything the Rams have been doing on film? Is there anything like they see on film? Oh, this is, hey, all right, listen, this is why we're losing. Or is it simply just a willpower, man-to-man thing that's going on that they're just getting beat by San Francisco? Like, are there tweaks they can make, or are they just going to have to man up, dig down deep, and just go win a street fight?
I think it's a style play thing, and then Shanahan scheming against the Rams defense, which is not a big, powerful rock'em shock'em defense, right? They're a quicker and lighter type of a defense. Has been a tough matchup for them. I think the difference this season, obviously, is that you have Matthew Stafford on the Rams, which doesn't change that, but probably gives you a little bit more horsepower in the passing game. And then I think having Cam Akers back, it has to be a huge X factor. They have to be able to have a little bit more balance or just a little bit more ways to make it easier on the quarterback, take a little bit off of Stafford's shoulders in the matchup. I believe all of the reasons why the 49ers have a good chance to win are still there. I did on the Football GM podcast I do with Randy Mueller, we recorded that today. I did pick the Rams. I am going to make a bet on them having the ability to overcome what has held them back in the past. And I look at the Tampa game for them. They should have won it by two or three touchdowns. I mean, it really took their running back fumbling at the 1 yard line and Cooper Kupp fumbling. It took some weird plays for that game not to be a laugher. And I just think that the 49ers maybe just hit the end of the road here as a team that needed a miraculous ending probably against Dallas and against the Green Bay. I don't know if it continues and keeps going all the way through.
Mike Sando, The Athletic, with it just for a couple more moments. I am Gable Morency, SiriusXM Channel 159, I'm on your 1090 ESPN Radio. So the Kansas City Chiefs eliminate my Buffalo Bills, and I'm still feeling it. Right? I'm sort of in shock. I'm not, like, crying. I'm just sort of, like, in shock still. I have the five stages of grief. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just sort of, I don't want to watch any highlights of it. I don't want to, you know, any of it. But with that being stated, can the Bengals do the same thing that the Bills did? And I don't really see why they can't. They just hung 34 up on them a couple of weeks ago on January the 2nd. And Kansas City's got to be a little bit gassed. Is it like if I'm, you know, there's like a basketball team, like, you know what I mean? Run them. You saw this team play last night. They're going back to back. Let's make these guys run again. If I'm Cincinnati, I know it sounds dangerous to want to get into a track meet with Mahomes, but I'd want to test their cardio and their conditioning, man, if I'm Cincinnati. Who do you got in this one? Who's playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be the Chiefs, but the X factor for me is, you know, the game being an Arrowhead and the ability to protect Burrow. And Burrow is, as great as he is, isn't going to be Josh Allen just running for a bunch of plays. I think Josh Allen's running ability was
a huge
component of the Bills being able to be in a track meet and win the game. I feel like the Bengals will keep firing and keep coming with Burrow, that he's relentless. But that being on the road against a decent pass-rushing team, there could be some issues there where they don't get points off of drives because of some sacks and ability to get pressure on the quarterback. That's my fear for the Bengals.
That's an excellent point. Josh Allen was able to extend the plays, and what an epic performance from Josh and Mahomes last week. I get the feeling the Chiefs are going to win the football game as well. Cincinnati will be lingering and hanging around, but yeah, it's tough to beat these guys on their home field. We saw the Bills had them on the ropes, couldn't deliver the knockout punch. So, Mike, so before we get you out of here, so you think we're looking at a Kansas City Chiefs Los Angeles Rams Super Bowl, which is a pretty sexy, flashy Super Bowl when it's all said and done.
It is. I'm not real overly confident about it, but yeah, that's the way that I'm you can definitely. I mean, I'm pretty confident on the Chiefs. I'm a little, the Ram 49 one's tough for the division.
Oh, you're damn right, it's tough.
It's a real tough one. That's why the casinos, you know, stay in business and everyone else loses or breaks 500 if they're even in betting.
Yeah, listen, I bet on everything, man. Like, we bet on women's volleyball in the middle of the night from Vietnam and stuff. And even I'm having a hard time with the Ram Niner game. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know. I'm scared of it. Hey, Mike.
If it's 3.5, I might take the 49ers. I might take the 49ers with 3.5, you know.
I like a teaser. Give me the Niners up to 10.5, and I'll hope for the best. Quickly on the way out here, just we got like 15 seconds. Lower scoring or higher scoring? It feels like the Rams-Niners going to be more of a smash-mouth game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I could see that being a little lower scoring, but
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Dude, it's hard to know in these games. It really is.
Yeah, the more we know, the less we realize we don't. Mike, the Athletic. Always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes Lord Gambler taketh, sometimes Lord Gambler will help you out. And I was talking about getting in on the over the game, but it was locked. I never got in on it. I said I'm on Fresno State. It didn't get there, but it's 53-50 right now for Fresno State. I've got Fresno plus two. They've stormed back. The second half score is 28-21. It's been a lower scoring game. Good call by Steve Merrill, actually, on our show tonight. He said he liked the under. I just thought it was light at 119. I didn't bet it, though. I said, you know what? I'll wait for an in-game or something like that. And it's a good thing I can get it in. But we're on Fresno. I don't know what's going on here. It's just 4 seconds remaining. There's been 4 seconds left forever. But we've got plus two, and they're up by three with 4 seconds remaining. And it's the Fresno State Bulldogs, not the Buffalo Bills. So we should be all right. We should be all right. Thanks to Mike Sando for joining us. I didn't even realize it. I guess, you know, that's how prestigious we are, actually, you know? Very distinguished. Like, Mike Sando, he's the real deal, this guy. He's a Hall of Fame voter, right? Mike Sando is so, like, trusted. He's a Hall of Fame voter. And we've got Brent Beard later. He's a Heisman Trophy voter. We're just, like, a bunch of degenerates. You know, we got, like, real people on. Speaking of degenerates, Tony Finn's going to step up and talk some college basketball, NFL. A lot of stuff to get to. Oh, my goodness. The worst thing that could have happened just happened, and now suddenly it will go over because it's going to overtime. God, you can't make this up. I pat myself on the back. Boise State just hit a three at the buzzer. It's not March Madness yet, but it's the January screw job. That's what this is. The one thing, it never really occurred to me. I'm like, well, I got him plus two, so whatever. I'm like, yeah, we'll be all right. I thought Fresno had the ball, actually. I thought we were up three with the ball. I just said, well, they're not the Buffalo Bills. Oh, my God. And as the underdog, now we're going to overtime? Now I'm pissed I didn't get the overbetted. That's what I just said, Lord Gambler. Now Lord Gambler's screwing us. It's a Joan Collins special. Bring it.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.